Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nerdentity Crisis Episode 68. I'm your host, Ryan Bai, joined today by Mr. Adam Lovar.
Hello, hello.
My literal brother from another mother, Justin Pigavance.
Howdy do.
And lastly, Josh, still haven't thought of a good nickname for him yet, Huffman.
Hello.
How's everybody doing today, gentlemen? Justin and Josh just got back from Gen Con. How was that?
Hell yeah.
It was good. It was good. Quite a bit of fun.
I see Justin spent all of his money on the first day, it looked like.
I don't think I really bought anything too much after...
After you sent us that picture of that bag full?
Yeah, after the first day, it was... I mean, I bought a couple things here and there, but yeah. Nothing...
He front-loaded his weekend, and I did all of the end, the last couple days. So
very nice. Well, I'm very jealous, and I want to go next year.
So yeah.
We need to make that happen.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing. We need to do that next year, for sure.
Hell yeah.
Yes, we are. Well, I'm glad to hear you had a good time. That's awesome. Very good. How are you, Adam?
Oh, not bad at all.
Yeah, good. Is it raining where you guys are?
Not yet, but it's getting dark as shit.
It's fucking rained all goddamn day. Yeah. Lovely.
My phone said it was supposed to at 6, and it has yet to do that.
Yeah. It's rained all fucking day here. Not a whole lot of fun. But that's fine. I had to work today, so I guess it doesn't really matter. We celebrated the end of Fair Week. Thank you, Jesus. It's over. It is over. I don't have to deal with that shit anymore. Oh, let me tell you.
For 1 year.
For a whole year, I don't have to deal with it. Yeah. I had a fair vendor call me and was like, hey, we're going to run out of hamburger buns. I need to order 400 hamburger buns. And I was like, okay, well, when do you need it for? And he was like, I can be there in 20 minutes.
Do you understand how long it takes to bread to rise, sir?
Man, you're looking at 3 hours minimum. You have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Oh god, and it was shit like that all week long.
Is it an extra like 15 minutes if they want sesame seed buns?
Yeah. I don't do sesame seed buns, fuck that.
you gotta give the customers what they want, Ryan.
I don't give a shit about fair vendors, let me tell you. Couldn't care less. So but it's over for a whole year. It is over, thank god. All right, let's dive into it. This is Nerdentity Crisis, your weekly video game podcast. Please make sure to... I got some new stuff here today. Justin's been working. Check us out on Podchaser, podchaser.com/Nerdentity Crisis. Instagram, Nerdentity Crisis. Twitter, @NerdentityPod. And check out our Patreon. We have... it's patreon.com/Nerdentity Crisis. We have a new patron that just joined today. Our dear friend Tyler. Tyler just joined. He's a patron.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Tyler.
Ooh, thanks, yeah. Tyler.
Thank you very much, Tyler. So come join in on the fun, everybody, if you have not already. Recommend it. I want somebody to get to that $10 tier so we can start doing a bonus episode every week or every month. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So, Justin, you want to explain Podchaser really quick for everybody?
Yeah, sure. So while we were driving, I think that's when I found it. Oh, no. I don't know. I found it last week sometime. One of the things that I noticed that we didn't have a way or something for people to do was give us any reviews. So obviously people can write in questions or comments or whatnot, but that is up to our filtration. So on Podchaser, you can go and you can actually see all of the episodes, and it's kind of a hub for where all of our stuff is stored. But you can also rate and review our podcast and or individual episodes, and just another area to interact with us if anybody would like to.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Very cool. You're finding a whole bunch of new goodies. I like it. I like it a lot. Anybody, leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing, except for Leif. You're not allowed to.
I was literally going to say I'm excited for Leif's review, and then nope.
He did not send in a question this week. I wonder if Leif, if you did not catch last episode, I did read your question. You just have to listen all the way to the end of the podcast. the very, very end of the podcast.
He was done hanging doors by then. He didn't get to it.
Yep.
Probably rage quit about halfway through.
Yeah, probably. Yep. My goddamn question. Shit, I like it. All right, let's kick this off. Normally, we start with Jacob. However, I had another one that I had to put to the front this week. Caleb writes in. Hi, Caleb.
What up, Caleb?
Oh, I love you, Caleb.
Hi, Caleb.
Caleb says, wait just one damn minute. Are you telling me that Jacob gets to ask the first question every week, and then Adam gets to answer the first question every week because he's apparently your foodie, and yet not a single one of you is going to call him out on committing the outrageous sin of saying the words potato salad? In the words of Samwise Gamgee, it's po-tay-to, you damn Midwesterners. So, quick backstory. Last week, we were talking about cold salads and how I hate cold salads and they're fucking awful. And Adam did oppose the question to me, you won't even eat potato salad. And I could just kind of breezed over it. I didn't even think about it. So, I want to give Adam a chance to defend himself. But first, I want the other boys to chime in. Josh, let's start with you. Do you think this is an egregious sin, saying potato salad instead of potato salad?
As a longtime Midwesterner, then I feel like potato is the correct pronunciation of it. I'll go as far as to say it's tater salad.
Yeah, okay. Right. I had the exact same answer as you. I've been a Midwesterner my whole life. I grew up hearing potato salad. Bothers me not even a little bit. Not even a little bit.
Hearing it potato salad? Potato? Yeah. Just sounds so foreign, so weird. I would definitely look at whomever said it like that very strangely.
Yeah, I don't think that I would trust you if I heard you say it like that.
If you said potato.
That's like how an alien would come down, like, hello, fellow humans. I would like to eat some of this potato salad.
Oh, I love it. So, Justin, I'm guessing you're totally fine with it, too?
Yeah, that's funny because I was thinking the same thing. It sounds like an alien.
Yeah.
No one enunciates that much.
Right. All right, Adam.
Where are you from, buddy?
Yeah, right. Defend yourself, Adam.
I don't even need to. You guys did it for me. I had to mute myself the entire time. I was like, I'm in tears almost because it's so true. It's just more like, it's one of those things I don't think about. It just rolls off the tongue so much easier. Just like potato, like versus potato. Like, I get it phonetically, but like, I don't know.
You're 100% right. I think Midwesterners have it right here and the rest of the world has it wrong. That's kind of how I feel about it.
But. Yeah, I appreciated the comment, hence why I love you, Caleb.
I got a good laugh out of true. It.
Yeah.
Sorry to ruin your day like that, Caleb, but get used to it. We're all Midwesterners here, so. Is it creek or crick? What do you say?
Creek.
I say creek. But
both are acceptable.
I say creek, yeah.
I say creek as well. Justin, you're the outlier there. I feel like that's another Midwesterner thing, but
it depends on I think who I'm talking to and what the sentence is.
Yeah
but, like my grandma always would say crick, like, let's go down to the crick, and I'm just like, it's so weird.
I feel like people on the coast right now are just losing their minds listening to this. I love it. Our way's better, so it's fine. But thank you very much for writing in, Caleb. Sorry we didn't get you the answer that you wanted. But that's the way it works. So, moving on. Now we're going to get to Jacob. Jacob writes in. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Jacob.
Justin, no hello?
Okay. I did it. I think it was...
we just all did it at the same time.
Just drowned out. Okay. Yep. That's fine. All right. Jacob says, what is a food or drink that you used to love but has been discontinued and can no longer buy? Adam, regardless of what Caleb thinks, you are still our foodie, so you get to go first.
I think I feel like we've talked about it at one point or another, but it was a cereal from the early 90s, Clusters.
Oh yeah, we did. We did talk about this. We had a cereal question.
Yeah, and that's still like one of my things that to this day I'm like, fuck. They have similar things like Honey Nut Clusters from other brands, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. It's never gonna be the same.
Nope. So,
Honey Nut Clusters, is that what it's called? Oh no, just Clusters. There it is.
It was just Clusters, and it was like in a tan blue sort of box. It was very 90s.
The ad I found on, or the box Squirrel I found online,
was like the mascot. Yeah, it was always trying to get the box of Clusters.
The box I found online has an advertisement for Seinfeld.
Hell yeah, shit. That sounds about time frame wise perfect.
Yep, that's awesome. Oh man, let's go to Justin next. Justin, what do you got?
So I had a two-parter here. The first one is, do you remember Kudos bars? Pete Johnson always had them.
I do.
I miss those. They were delicious. Apparently they stopped, like, I don't remember. I looked up whenever I looked this up. 2008, oh,
yeah,
maybe.
Dude.
But they were so good. They died when people decided that, like, candy bars, cereal bars aren't healthy.
Yeah, but like Cinnamon Toast Crunch is fine. That's totally good for you.
So
yeah.
When did that happen? I feel like that's still going on.
Yeah. So anyways, and then the other one, which is kind of sad because I had to look it up to make sure, but I was going with the Double Down from KFC, but apparently they brought it back for a limited time this year and I missed it.
Oh, it'll be back next year. I'm sure.
Well, apparently it hasn't been back since like 2008 or something. And now
what, really?
It came back for just a few months, or 2010 maybe. Came back for a few months and it's gone again.
Damn, that is kind of depressing.
Time frame wise, that checks out, because I remember like we made the Double Down as like a joke at the pit for like a week, and it was after they stopped doing it.
It was a better version, I'm sure.
It was like fresh battered like tendies that we pulled off the smoked chicken, and then like our house bacon and stuff. It was fucking awesome.
Nice. Yeah, you probably used real chicken, I'm sure.
Yeah, we smoked whole chickens, and when we pulled it, we kept the like the tenderloin part of it, and we fresh battered those.
I don't know what KFC uses, but sometimes I question. Sometimes I question, is that actually chicken?
I assumed the Double Down was like a McRib scenario where it just showed up every year and was like, oh, it's back for a limited time, but like. No one should really care because it's there every single year. And, you know, at least in the McRibs, case, it's fucking garbage.
Nice.
Never had a McRib, not going to lie.
I haven't either. Don't.
I haven't either, and I can't. It reminds me of the rib sandwiches from school.
Oh,
school
yeah.
School lunches, and those were atrocious. So
just awful. Awful.
Every one of our listeners, just Google a deconstructed McRib.
No, thank you.
And just never look at food the same way again.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. Ugh. It's like finding out what's in a hot dog. It's the same thing.
I love hot dogs.
Or spam.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
I know it's in spam, and I'll still eat the fuck out of it.
Ugh, I've never had spam, not once in my life. And I grew up in Spam Town, USA. I don't even give a shit.
Yeah, but you're a little bitch.
Yeah, that's true. I am.
I'm gonna give that with chicken teddy spam. Would you eat it?
No, because like it wouldn't actually be chicken. Spam. They probably have a chicken-based spam more than likely.
I mean, it's probably part of spam anyway to begin with. They're just more chicken this time around.
Right. Josh, what is your discontinued item?
So I had two that I was juggling between. The original Mountain Dew Pitch Black.
Oh, okay.
And they came out with another Pitch Black later, but I am adamant that those were different. because I feel like the first one was sour, and the second one was much more sugary. They were probably all like diabetes inducing sugary, but one was sour and sugary, but that was dope. And then I feel like it's been all the rage recently for everyone to say that they miss it, even though no one bought it when it was out. But, the, tangerine sour Altoids?
What?
Did nobody?
Nope.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. There's like really? Candy maker on YouTube that's tried to like deconstruct it and make it. I know exactly what you're talking about, Josh.
Yeah, there were a few different Altoids that used
the tangerine orange ones and like also the yellow ones. Those were both money.
I liked all of the candy Altoids, but yeah, those are gone.
Yeah. So, definitely have seen there's like TikTok videos of people trying to recreate it, and there's the YouTuber Adam mentioned. I can't remember what his name was. I've just seen it in my recommended videos trying to recreate it, but they were fire. Super good.
Interesting. Yeah, never partook. Never partook.
The YouTube he's referring to is Lofty Pursuits.
Name.
It's actually, watch him. He's like a super candy nerd. Like, it's crazy how much in depth he goes into candies and stuff. It's pretty cool.
I'm Googling it right now so I can remember. I won't forget. All right. Mine, Justin will probably remember this. I don't know if you liked them, but I fucking loved them. Hormel Kids Kitchen. You remember, Justin? The little microwavable cups?
Yeah, I sure do.
I fucking loved those things, dude.
They don't make them anymore?
No, they don't. They're gone forever. But yeah, like there was a mac and cheese one, and I remember that one was my favorite, and my mom always made fun of me because she said it looked like dog food, and it totally did, but it was delicious.
It 100% did.
100% looked like dog food, but it was
probably
so good.
Was, Ryan. Just
they had like a pizza wedges one that was really good, and then they had
really good as a stretch, buddy.
I thought that they were really good. I liked them when I was a kid.
I had to Google this, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Like, I had friends that they would put that in the microwave because they had the lid with the holes so you could microwave it. And like, ugh.
I remember one time
I did not like that shit at all.
Well, it's not good. It's not really good, but I enjoyed them. I remember one time at work when I first started, I don't know, I can't remember, 15, 16 something. I bought one of them for break, and I forgot to take the metal lid off. And dude, that shit exploded in the microwave in the break room at work, like really bad. Kids Kitchen was the shit, man, and I wish that would come back. I think they tried to replace it with what's the other microwave shit Hormel came out with? Not for
there's
kids.
Like the Hormel Completes.
Completes, yes.
Still, I think those are still out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they tried to replace it, and it's not the same. It's not the same. So, Kids Kitchen, bring it back, Hormel. That would be awesome. They never will, but that would be awesome. All right, well, thank you very much for the question, Jacob. We've had a lot of nostalgic questions lately, and I really like it. Lots of trips down memory lane. So, keep it up. Keep it up. Let's jump in. Let's talk about some video games now that we got our food stuff out of the way. What are we playing now? Adam, what have you been playing?
So played, randomly decided to play Destiny 2 again.
Oh, okay.
Reinstalled that.
I have a few people at work who said that they're getting back into it.
Yeah,
so.
Like I haven't played for like tons of the past DLCs, and it was super cheap to get to like Beyond Light or whatever, which is like the current one. So I played through like all the three DLCs that I never played, and it was actually a lot of fun. Like, I forgot how crisp and like fun the first person shooter aspect of that game is.
For sure.
And just like the grind for the light level and stuff is fun. Also dabbled in some mods on Stalker and managed to fuck that up a bunch where I had to reinstall it a couple times.
Nice.
But found some cool mods to like change the character models, like HD packs, and kind of like up the game, and that was super fun. And let's see what else. Been playing a lot of DayZ randomly.
Oh.
Again. There's Takistan, which is like a desert map. I've been playing that for a little bit. That's been super fun. And then Kat got Eastward on Switch, and holy shit,
Eastward.
That's a super awesome game. New game by Chucklefish, who's done like Starbound and some other games.
Okay.
But oh my god, super good action RPG.
Didn't this just come out?
It came out on the 16th, yeah.
Dude, it looks dope.
I've been seeing a lot of stuff
for amazing.
It looks really good.
Super good. Like, homage to, again, kind of Link to the Past. They have, like, Final Fantasy, like, Earthbound, a bunch of, like, homages to those games. And, like, really? Oh my god, it is so good.
I'm going to check Kat's this out.
About halfway or a little bit halfway through the game. Like, she played it a fuck ton this weekend.
Is Chucklefish who did Starbound?
Yeah. Yep.
That makes sense because this looks like a Starbound game.
It is super fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna be playing that one.
Yeah, highly, highly recommended. It was gonna possibly be my pick of the week, but like I just wanted to talk about it faster and sooner. So
right.
Yeah, Eastward, super awesome.
Okay.
Highly recommended.
I'm gonna be checking that one out for sure. I've never even heard of it. So that's why this podcast is fucking awesome. I mean, I don't want to say we're awesome. I don't want to sound egotistical, but we're fucking awesome. Anything else, Adam?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Justin, what about yourself?
So Marissa and I have been playing some Mario Kart and that Mario Deluxe game a bit.
Oh, okay.
And then we played, Josh and I played some Mario Kart and Tony Hawk on the first night in Indianapolis. And I played some more Pikmin while on the road. Poor Josh drove, and I pretty much blasted Pikmin the majority of it.
Nice.
And then we got some board games in.
And played a bunch of tabletop, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we... I think Josh and I got 4 games actually played. We had a 5th on the table and weren't up for learning how to play at the time of night it was. But damn it, we tried.
Damn it, we tried.
There was also some beers consumed before that. And
yeah.
We got to the rule book. It was like 11 p.m. and we're like, about that.
So yeah, I was excited to hear that. Like, what were some cool games that you guys played at Gen Con or picked up? Or because you guys obviously played games there.
Yeah. So the game that we had played. Well, so I got Ankh, Gods of Egypt, and I had never even heard about it. We're walking by, and I'm sort of a absolute sucker for Egyptian-themed things.
Yeah.
And we were looking, and the minis just looked absolutely gorgeous. And then I was like we saw it, and I started looking at it. And then I told, like, I looked at Josh, and I was like, we have to walk away right now. And so we walked away. And
I pointed it out because I'm like, didn't you want this game, or didn't you look at this? And he was just like, fuck, like he could feel like his wallet emptying just seeing Egyptian stuff.
So we left, and then we wanted to get a mask from Gen Con, and I don't think we got any other merch, did we, that was Gen Con specific?
No, just the masks.
And as we were there, then, or while he was in line for that and I was chilling, then I looked it up, and it has like a 8.1 on BoardGameGeek, which is pretty good. So yeah. Then I was like, fuck, let's go back. And so we got to try a round of that out. It's, I don't know if you've ever played any, what's the guy's name? Something Lang. He's the game designer. He's got a couple other games that are, I think, one is similar to this, but it's Asian mythology. But anyways, you're an Egyptian god, and it plays a lot different than anything that I've ever played before, and it's kind of neat too because the areas of control that it starts with can be broken up by camel caravans later on, so you can actually like break up the map and kind of change areas of control, which is neat. And then the first night we played a little Mint Control, just a small simple game that I had just because we didn't have anything else yet. And then also I got Barnacle,
It's Wanderer, like Story of Barnacle Bay or something like that.
The Cult of Barnacle Bay.
That's it.
Okay. And so that one is very similar to the Descent type. I actually saw Shovel Knight as a board game and I was trying that one out and I was talking to one of the guys that works for Pandasaurus. And I was interested, but I didn't see Wander yet. And he told me that he likes that one way more because it's co-op like Descent, but no Overlord and a lot of fun. And I was like, they had a Kickstarter exclusive box still there with extra stuff that they hadn't got rid of yet. And I was like, how many of those do you have? And he said, that's all they had. And I don't know, Josh, 8 to 10 of them, maybe. And yeah, I was like,
I mean, it couldn't have been more than like 10.
I was like, just go ahead and bag it up. I'll scoop that when I'm done playing this one.
Nice.
And so we played that after, was that Saturday night, Josh?
Yeah. Yep.
Ankh was a downside because we got like 30 some minutes in and realized we were playing it completely wrong. So we had to start.
Oh, really? Over. I fucking hate that.
And then Barnacle Bay, we played wrong, but it was kind of against us. Like we made it way harder on us and we still ended up winning. So we just kept rolling with it.
We just kept on spawning monsters over and over and over and over and over again when,
which we weren't supposed to do.
Yeah. So it was, I'm like, this game is way harder than I expected.
Well, that's cool. That's awesome.
And then the last one we played was a game called Cartographer, which I will let Josh speak to.
Yeah. Yeah. And Cartographers is like a map making, almost like Tetris game. You have like a grid map that you start with, and then you draw cards for each season, and those cards have almost like a Tetris block on them, like a shape, and then a list of different terrains that you can make it. And so the point of the game is you have four different scoring mechanisms that take place depending on the seasons, which ones. So like, for instance, it might be that you get 1 point for each forest terrain touching the edge of the map. Or you might get 8 points if you have clusters of six or more cities. But also you can pull ambush cards where monsters attack and you have to hand your map to the other person, in this case, since we were playing a two-player game, or the person, I think, to your left, and they get to draw the monster block on your map wherever they want, and you lose points for each empty space touching those monsters. So you have to like constantly balance where you can you fit stuff and do the terrains match and do you have monsters covered. And there's, especially on like, there's like two sides of the map, an easier one and a harder one. And I definitely like was running out of space and couldn't fit blocks properly. And it's pretty fun. It's pretty easy to learn too.
Interesting. I like for going to Gen Con, that seems like the game's the easy to learn. Just like they're really quick. You can pick up and go. That seems like money there. You know what I mean?
The nice thing, yeah, that definitely is true, like, especially because, you know, in like 2019 when we had gone, then we just kind of like posted up in the, you know, beer garden food court area and just played like pickup games with people. But it's really nice to be able to like go to someone's booth, jump in during a game, learn it for, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then, you know, maybe don't finish the game by any means, but you get to like learn how it should be played.
Right.
So
we were a lot more efficient on this round.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You knew the lay of the land this time a little better.
Yeah. And we actually like signed up for some stuff ahead of time. Granted, we didn't end up showing up to some of it, but we actually like bought tickets. Like I bought us tickets for Madara, which is like a dungeon crawler game. And so we got to play like an hour of that.
I forgot about that in the library.
Yep. The other thing that we did was we got tickets for the library on Friday. And so pretty much what that is that there's like a gigantic ballroom area which just has like a million tables in, and you can just rent games for free as long as you've signed up ahead of time. So you like check out games and you can just play it there and then check them back in when you're done. And so we played a handful of games there. Cool. Quacks of Quedlinburg, I think is the name of it. And we played some game with Nightmare in the name that I wasn't super into and have purged from my memory. And we played Unstable Unicorns, which was pretty funny.
Huh.
I can't remember what else we played at the library. But we got definitely a lot more gaming in, I think, this time around. And I think next year will be even more like signing up for stuff we think is cool and, being able to play. The other thing noticed the other thing that I realized kind of on the drive home was that we checked out, almost every single booth in the entire convention hall, like main hall. But we did not go into like half of the side rooms. And so there is even more stuff to check out than we could even fit in. That's going to be next year.
There you go. That's cool. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm excited.
We definitely need to get everyone there because Josh and I were talking about it'd be nice to hit the things that we wanted to hit, but then when we have these games, be able to go back to the Airbnb or wherever we stay and actually try some of them out. But yeah, that Madara game that Josh got is also like Descent, but more intricate. And it's the minis are all like very cool as well. The story is cool. Did you already mention the red? Like you need the code reader to read parts of the book?
No, I didn't mention spoilers. That. If you remember the lore book is giant. If you remember those old like decoder ring type things, where like there's like red graffiti over what you're supposed to read, and you like put the red like film piece to be able to like read what the text actually says.
So it doesn't spoil it.
Yeah, all of the choices in the game and like storyline stuff is hidden behind those so that you don't know what's the correct choice. You don't know like what you're walking into. So one difference between that and Descent is Descent requires the Overlord, so like a DM type person that's running the game. Madara doesn't need that. And then also in Descent, you play as any of the characters you want, and then the game is going to, kind of be the same, just with different characters in that regard. Madara has like a set, you play these characters. And the characters might change each story or each round, as the story picks up from different people, but you're more playing a story as opposed to just like dungeon crawling, if that makes sense.
Nice. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've got Act 1, Act 2 and Act 3 aren't out yet, but, looking forward to getting that one on the table for sure.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. With some of these games, I think Ryan, you're going to have to make a night or just like a day, come stay for a night, maybe two nights. I don't know, whatever. Or come early in the morning, some morning.
Yeah, it's a 4-hour drive. That's an overnight trip.
Well, I meant like you could come in the morning and then stay overnight and then leave the next day, but we could get a a solid day of gaming in. Like, yeah, shit, I have enough vacation time. I could even take a day off during the week if a weekday worked better for you.
For shit. Yeah, we'll definitely, we'll figure something out.
Just post up at a table and you know, knock out like 10 hours of board games.
There you go.
That sounds like one of the greatest ways that we could spend our time. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I agree. No, we'll figure something out for sure. Yeah, the Madar games looks like a lot of fun. We'll plan something, and we're definitely doing Gen Con next year. Josh, you do any video gaming?
Honestly, just the stuff Justin already mentioned. We played a little bit of Pikmin, Mario Kart, Tony Hawk. That was pretty much it.
Okay.
Mostly the old tabletop.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Tony Hawk was a lot of fun, though. It was fun to get to play that in a co-op. That was nostalgia right there.
Oh, for yeah, we sure. played like horse. You like had to try to do the most points, and that was good because I generally got the feeling that neither of us knew exactly what we were doing. Because I haven't played a Tony Hawk game in like a million years, but yeah, it's pretty fun.
Nice, very cool. So I started playing my most anticipated game of the year in Deathloop, and it's fine. I'd say it's somewhere in between fine and good.
Okay.
Here's the deal. I know, it's really depressing, and like, I'm looking at its Metacritic scores and like how all these sites are giving it 10s out of 10s. And I realize these are people's opinions, obviously. Just like my opinion is that it's an okay game, but I'm shocked at that it's getting 10s out of 10s. Like, I wouldn't score it anywhere near a 10. I mean, on the plus side, like, the gun plays a lot of fun. The game plays a lot of fun. The powers you get are really fucking cool. Like, my favorite power is you can... you fire this beam at a NPC, and then it links the nearest NPCs together. So what happens to one NPC happens to all the other ones. So if you shoot one in the head, all three of them die of a headshot or whatever, you know? So that one's been my favorite so far. The gun plays a lot of fun. Like I said, there's not a huge variety of guns, what I think is weird. It's kind of the same guns over and over again, but they have like different perks to them. If you find like more legendary ones, the biggest issues I have with it is one, like about, it takes like, I'd say depending on your play style, 7 to 8 hours before you're able to really hold your own. Cause it's not a roguelike, but it's Groundhog Day, right? So every day, if you die, it either starts all over, or at the end of every day, it starts all over. And like later on, you can get this power where you can choose certain powers or weapons to carry with you into the next day. But until you get that, like, if you get into a gunfight, you're kind of fucked. So it's a lot of sneaking around for the first 7-8 hours of the game until you kind of start getting powers and better weapons and stuff like that. And I kind of found that to be a little annoying. And then the other thing, my biggest issue with the game is like, so for those who don't know, and they've released fucking 37 different trailers on the game, so you might know, but you're stuck in a time loop. You have no memory of what happened or whatever. So you're kind of trying to piece it together as you go. And there are these 8 people, I think, on the island. And if you kill all 8 of them in the same day, you end the loop, basically, is what it is. And I've killed 3 of the 8 in one run, but like, I don't even know who the fuck I killed. Like, and maybe it's because I didn't watch any of the trailers. Maybe they explained who these people were. But like, I had this big epic fight with one of the people, and then I killed them, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't even know who that was. I don't know what their significance was. Like, there's not much of a story to follow. The story is by finding like computers, like kind of Fallout style, and just seeing like texts or emails between people or whatever. But I don't know, it's not holding my attention like at all, like not even a little bit. It's fine to like play in like 45 minute hour bursts, but it's not a game you definitely want to marathon through. But
that's definitely sad because Josh and I listened to the last episode on the drive home.
Yeah.
And I remember you talking about you can't wait for Deathloop.
Yeah.
And you're going to talk about it on this episode. And with a letdown.
Yeah, I was very excited for it. And it's just not, I don't know. And like, I get that you're like trying to figure out a puzzle, right? Because you have, how it works is there's four different times of the day. There's morning, noon, afternoon, and night. And like, when you go to a certain section of the map, time doesn't move. You can spend as much time as you want there, but the second you go to another section of the map, time advances. So you go from morning to noon, and you basically have one day to kill all eight people. So a lot of it's trying to figure out, how do I get this person in the same place at the same time so I can kill two birds with one stone type of thing? And even that, like, that's not even that interesting. And there's really only four sections of the map, and you kind of just retread them over and over and over again. And they kind of change depending on what time of the day it is. Like, every map gets harder the later in the day it gets. But it's still not enough to keep me wanting to, like, go back to it. So I'm very disappointed.
So it's bigger scale, 12 minutes, and it's just...
Yes, pretty much. A little bit. Yeah. I mean, it could have been awesome, and I wish it was awesome. I just feel like if it was fleshed out a little more, I'd care more. But like I said, there's these eight people you have to kill. I don't know fuck all about them. I don't know what their importance is. I don't care. I just don't care. So, I don't know. Not for me. But I've kind of been playing it here and there. Like, I'll just boot it up and I'll do a run. And then if I die or if I finish the day, I'm like, okay. And then I'll set it down for a couple days. But then I was like, well, I got to play something else. So I started playing Tales of Arise, which just came out. Fucking awesome. God, that game's fucking good. If you ever play, I don't know, have you guys ever played any of the Tales games? Tales of Vesperia, any of those?
No,
I've ever heard of them. Yeah, both
Vesperia and then playing it. He fucking loves it.
Josh, you have played some other ones?
Vesperia and then also Tales of Symphonia for the GameCube.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Both are really, really good.
I did play that one. I didn't realize that
there
was
you go.
Same. Yeah, Tales of Symphonia was really good.
Yeah, dude. Tales of Arise is really fucking good, man. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I mean, kind of, it's obviously a JRPG. It has a typical JRPG story for the most part. There's a few twists and turns in there. The combat's super solid, though. Very kind of Final Fantasy VII Remake is kind of the best way I can describe it. Pretty similar. And yeah, you have a team that goes with you, obviously characters that you get to know throughout the whole thing. But I'm really enjoying it. Like, really enjoying it. So I think I have 14 hours into it already. So I'm at least glad that if Deathloop was a major disappointment, this was at least a really nice surprise. So.
We are a bit spoiled with choices these days.
Yes, that's very true. Yes. So, and it's going to get even crazier next spring. So, or January, February, March next year. It'll get even more wild. So, yeah, that's what I've been playing. I'm going to continue playing Tales of Arise. I might pick up Deathloop here and there a little bit more, but I don't think it's going to be a game I finish. So, kind of sucks. But everybody out there there's a lot of people out there really enjoying it, and I'm happy for you. That's awesome. Very nice. All right. That concludes What Are We Playing Now? Jesus Christ, we're 45 minutes into the episode. all right. We're going to do our next round of Who Would Win, and I think we've kind of finally ironed out the details.
I wanted to throw something in on this piece. The last one... For the listeners, we sort of fucked up in that I had initially said that we should do, I don't know if anyone's following on our socials, but I've been doing a showing the bracket updates. And so on the last one, it was kind of supposed to be like mortal action movie human people. But then they went with Disney princesses and threw that off. So I'm going to throw a poll out on our socials for John McClane versus Mulan, and we will come up with the setting or scenario and that will be on the poll. So hopefully you guys will all jump into that. And then for this next bracket, I'll let Ryan take us away.
All right. So Josh and Adam are going head to head. Josh and Adam, what category did you choose?
Humans in fantasy novels, or books in general.
In fantasy novels. Justin, do you have an arena for them to fight in?
The Underdark.
Oh,
oh shit.
Nice.
Totally
nice.
Pitch black. Interesting.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there's some like glowy crystals and
mushrooms.
And mushrooms, yeah. And fire, yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, we'll say the Underdark, but in a dwarven city that just for whatever reason has no dwarves or citizens in it.
Okay.
Like a deserted but lit up dwarven city underground.
So basically they're fighting in a cave. Is that what we're getting?
A dwarven, like a palace dwarven city. Cave.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So who wants to name their fighter first?
Sure, I'll go. To fully explain my choice, though.
Oh, God, here we go.
I might have to spoil things. Be warned, I guess, in that regard. Okay. But I picked Ciri from the Witcher series.
Okay, all right. Interesting. Okay.
Interesting.
She's a badass.
She's a badass for sure.
Hopefully you got a contender, Adam.
I picked Paul Atreides from the Dune series. Muad'Dib, the Preacher, the One.
AKA the One.
Sufficed, Josh. He was human in those series.
I mean, Cyril is not 100% human, so yeah, I feel like true. Both of those are fair picks. Personally have not read more than the first Dune book, so
he gets crazy as fuck in the other ones. So
nice. I think that's like very similar to like in the beginning of the Witcher series than series like. Seven.
I think that's actually funny that we pick those because Ciri has the ability, I think, in some of them to like time travel and hop and stuff, and like Paul Atreides has the ability to be in like multiple places and times at once and like see the future, and like I think these are good contestants.
They have very similar powers in that regard.
Yeah, that's funny that we picked those.
Yeah, yeah. Ciri can like jump through time, but also through dimensions. So not just like within the time within their world, but other worlds and other like throughout the universe, I guess.
Okay.
This is tough because I don't know anything about Paul.
Yeah.
Never read Dune or seen the old school Dune movie?
No, but no.
Let's see the new one. My God.
Oh, I mean, God damn. Yeah, I'm so excited for that.
I'm excited. Can't wait. I do know both characters, and I have to go Ciri still. Like, she's... I don't know, man. I still think toe-to-toe... Especially in the Underdark, like that kind of does it for me too, because she's got like her little warp ability, or I don't know what you want to call it. It's like a dash ability or whatever. I don't know. I think I'm going Ciri.
Yeah, Paul doesn't even need to touch her though. He has his like fucking dragon shouts, his thooms that he doesn't his even need thooms. To hit him. He just shouts at them and kills them.
Foos Roda.
I don't know. That's interesting. I mean, yeah.
I'm taking
I don't think Ciri. This would be an easy fight, you know?
No, I don't either.
I mean, Paul, like, grew up in the caves in the dunes. Like, literally, they get different eyes from the spice so they can see in the dark. Like, that's actually quite the advantage for Paul.
The witchers can also drink potions to see in the dark.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know that it's, like, right. A huge advantage.
So I'm guessing you are each taking your own character you chose.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Paul could.
I feel like even if I made a terrible choice, I have to stick with it. You know.
Yeah. That's why I stayed with Leia Organa the whole way down last week as I was crashing and burning
the sinking ship.
Yep. Justin, you're kind of the deciding vote here, or do you want to put it up to the listener since you don't know Paul?
Well, I apologize because I didn't mute for the last however long. I thought I was muted and I was clicking away and searching.
It was the keyboard ASMR episode.
Yeah, there you go.
So since I didn't know anything about Paul, I searched up Paul versus Ciri and found a Paul versus Geralt on Who Would Win Reddit. And it seems like people are thinking Paul would beat Geralt.
Yeah, and Geralt would definitely beat Ciri.
Yeah, then I'm going to have...
Not the end of the book, Ciri, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. End of... This is tough because some of the things that they talk about Paul's abilities, and I don't know Ciri's
end abilities. He mind-fucks people.
Yeah, and at some point they're talking about some laser gun that Paul gets, and he has a shield for it, so...
Oh, that's Ciri at the very beginning, but yeah.
I will say... Yeah. I will not be upset with either choice. there are pros and cons to both choices.
Well, if Justin, if you go Paul, we got to leave it up to listeners. Or if you go Ciri, it's a done deal. So it rests on your shoulders, sir.
Well, so first off, I just want to call out Ryan or Adam has mentioned to answer your question that it's raining hard ass balls here now.
Oh, yep.
So now ass balls are falling from the sky. I've never seen an ass ball, but
it's not looking hard enough.
We have a metal roof, so it's loud ass balls right now. So yeah,
hard ass balls. So for I don't know. I mean, is it lame if I pick Ciri out of just even what she could do in the Witcher 3 game with? I just don't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to do two polls at the same time.
Yeah.
It's my only thing. But I don't want to fuck over Adam on the poll. But I'm going to go Ciri anyways because I love Ciri as a character. And
it's fine. I hope you watch the new Dune movie and be like, oh shit, Paul is a badass.
Shit.
I hope so too because I hope that movie's
and
good.
And the book series is amazing. Like, the shit he can do is crazy. Like, he would summon like a fucking Dune worm out of the Underdark and just inhale Ciri, so it's fine.
I would say I cannot wait until you read the Witcher books, but they kind of sucked. So
and
I don't,
Justin's not
going to
read them anyways.
I don't actually recommend that, but hopefully the Netflix series gets to the end.
I like it. All right, series the winner. There we go. All right, that was a good one. So next week, Justin and I will go head to head.
Yep, no, and, we do apologize.
And so Ryan, we will take the same category.
Yep. Yep.
And for the listeners, keep in. I'll wait to do the poll until this has published for everybody.
There you go. Good choice. All right, we're moving on. Let's do some news. Number one, according to multiple sources, French developer Quantic Dream, best known for PlayStation exclusive games Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and Detroit Become Human, will be working on a Star Wars title for their next game. So I think it's so fucking cool that EA doesn't have a stranglehold on Star Wars anymore. Like, that was, thank God that's fucking over. But I'm more interested to know what you guys think this fucking game could even be. Like, have you, well, let's go to Josh first. Josh, have you played any of these games? Heavy Rain, any of those?
Yeah, I loved Heavy Rain specifically. Yeah. I have not played the other ones.
Okay.
Just purely because I haven't bought them. You know, not out of a lack of want to play them, but
right.
I just really hope like a lot of the choices that you make really affect the game, and you know, like I think the way that Star Wars is built up because there's like very hard line good and evil. It really lends itself to that idea that you could, you know, change the game as you're playing it based off of the choices that you make. I also really hope that you get to play like, I don't know, someone that's badass, and then you just like run through a mall yelling for your kid for like 20 minutes. If anyone has not played Heavy Rain, then you should do that to get that reference. But
very good game.
It is very, very good. But yeah, I mean, just having played Heavy Rain, I feel like it could lend itself so well to the stories and characters of Star Wars.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm interested to see what kind of I wonder if they're going to branch out or if it's going to be the same style. Because, I mean,
don't Star fix Wars. What's not broken.
What's that?
Don't fix what's not broken, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
If you make really awesome, you know, character choice, you know, stories, then just keep doing what works, you know?
Right, right. Adam, did you play any of these?
I've played Heavy Rain.
Okay.
And I'm kind of on the fence. Like, I feel like, yes, it could be cool in the Star Wars universe, but like the point click change to finding like read your own adventure stories. Like, I don't know. I feel like Star Wars have so much more action and stuff. So I'm on the fence with it.
That was again, kind of,
again, love Heavy Rain. Like, I think it's an awesome game, and I know I've never played Detroit Human, but I know that's gotten good reviews and stuff. But it's just, I feel like it'd be too slow for the Star Wars universe, you know, like that style.
And I'm pretty much the exact same opinion as you, honestly, when I heard this. Like, I think it could be fucking crazy, but I don't know if it's going to be Star Wars worthy, I guess is the best way I can put it. Because, one, a lot of Heavy Rain and these games are quick time event related, and that I just don't know how that fit in a Star Wars game. And, like, I was trying to think of, like, a character you could be in Star Wars, the universe, like, other than a droid, which might work kind of a little bit, but I don't know. Justin, you played Beyond Two Souls and really liked it. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I don't really have any.
No thoughts? Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know why I even got into Beyond Two Souls. We talked about it before that I liked it and I played it.
Yeah,
but the likelihood of me playing this, if it's single player, is close to zero again. So
true.
I don't know. I like even Detroit and the others. I just don't even see myself playing those.
Yeah, that's fair. And they're not. I liked them, but it wasn't like. I don't know. It wasn't like it's something I remember exactly what happened. Other than Heavy Rain was probably my favorite out of all of them.
Yeah,
I do remember that one.
That one was just like different in its own regard, especially like the timing of your decisions and like what you decided really fucking changed the game. Like, other than that, the other ones are just like a polished up dating sim. Like, you're talking to someone and making the choice, and like what happens happens, and that's it. Like, I don't know.
The only thing I remember about Detroit Become Human is after every like chapter that you did, this like screen popped up with all the different branching choices you could have taken. And by the end of the game, it is pretty fucking impressive what they managed to pull off, like how different things could have ended had you done this or what, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but so. Wasn't that like that, Justin, maybe you can help me out. What was that horror game that came out where it was like basically a movie and you made the Until different Dawn. Choices?
Until Dawn, yeah.
Until Dawn. I mean, like, they had all these different choices, but really, like, ultimately, did it actually change the ending? Like, is there only just a handful of you know, endings per se.
You have like this, the like semblance of choice, and really it'll affect like who lives or dies, but actions happen regardless.
Yeah, there might be a slight dialogue change or like a video you might not see, but it doesn't really change anything. Right. Probably not.
Yeah, I definitely think the most exciting news to take away from this story is EA is not involved in Star Wars anymore. I think that's what I like most about this. So other than Jedi Fallen Order 2, if we can get a sequel to that game, that would be awesome. But otherwise, just keep it out of EA's hands. I'm interested to see what they do. Or it's a long time away, obviously, but it'd be cool to see kind of what they're coming up with over there. Okay, number two. In a since-deleted Instagram post, actor Tom Hardy appeared to be wearing a Spider-Man No Way Home production hat. Hardy has played Venom for two Sony Picture movies and could indicate everyone's favorite character but mine could be heading to the MCU. Justin, as the biggest Venom fan here, how you feel about this?
One, I feel like there's a lot of things that keep coming out about this movie that I don't know how they've done a good job of keeping it all under wraps if he does pop into this. But two, I don't know that I would be able to make my dick go soft until I see it.
Have you watched any of the other Tom Holland Spider-Man movies?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so you'll at least know what's going on.
Yep, I've seen them all. He's my favorite Spider-Man, actually.
Oh, for sure. 100% agree. 100%. Yeah, I don't know, man. This movie's going to be fucking crazy, and I can't wait for it. But Josh, go to you next. What do you think about Venom potentially joining the MCU?
Tom Hardy can definitely get it, so... I'm down with that choice.
Right.
I did not see the last Spider-Man movie. I kind of got a little burnt out with Marvel movies to some degree. But I like Venom. I like Tom Hardy. And I enjoyed the first Spider-Man movie. So I'll probably see it eventually.
There you go.
But
Adam, what about you?
Bronson Willie.
Oh God. I've never even heard of this movie until you guys were talking about it. I'd never even heard of it.
I was just like Tom Hardy, love him. Like I've fallen in love with him early 2000s and like he's a great actor. So yes, more Tom Hardy. If he can get into that fucking world, more power and more money to him, hell yeah, I would love to watch him.
Right.
Like, I haven't heard any, Venom.
I haven't heard anything bad about him. I don't know, like, his movies are great. He is a great actor.
Watch Bronson, everyone.
He seems good. I don't know. There's nothing that he can do wrong. He's the next Messiah.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I will say the one thing to kind of know is Spider-Man and Venom are both technically owned by Sony. And they're kind of on loan to Marvel or the MCU and Disney. So even if they're in this movie, like if Venom joins this movie, I don't know if it's not obviously going to be a permanent thing. So, but it would be really cool to see him in it. All right. Number three. I don't even know. Is it just 1047 Studios? Is that how you say that? 1047 Studios? We're going with 1047
Studios. I would say 1047.
All right. The small dev team behind Splitgate says they want to be the next Riot Games. In an interview with TechCrunch, co-founder and CEO Ian, not even going to attempt that last name, said that due to receiving over $100 million in donations from investors, the game is now only roughly 25% done and is hoping to create the next League of Legends. Justin, you've been playing a lot of Splitgate, or a fair amount of Splitgate, I won't say a lot. But obviously this is kind of the new, I don't know, trend right now. I don't know what to call it. But it sounds like they're pulling in a shitload of money, and it's going to kind of turn into a games as a service a little bit. How do you feel about that?
I can't hate a company for wanting to make some money.
Yeah.
I don't know that I particularly like the company that they're looking up to want to be, but I guess I get it. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I don't blame them, though.
Are you still playing Splitgate?
I haven't really had time to play much. I don't think I played PC in a couple weeks now.
Okay.
Because I didn't play any last time. And yeah. I didn't play any since because of Gen Con. So, but I don't know. I have nothing but great things to say about Splitgate.
Is it good enough that you can see it being around for forever and ever, kind of like League?
I mean, Halo still has a massive fan base, and something that these guys did really well is their shooting mechanics are, I mean, they're basically perfect.
Okay.
I have not run into lag in the game. I haven't run into anything that frustrates me that, like, obviously it sucks to die or lose, but I don't ever feel like there's a disadvantage. It's just done really well.
Right. Okay. Josh, what about yourself? You done Splitgate at all, or you got any opinion on this?
I have played neither of the games referenced. Not played League, not played Splitgate. No context here.
All right, fair enough. That's fine, Adam.
Yep, I'm with Josh. I have Splitgate downloaded, but I haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
So I think it's lofty for them to say we're going to be the next League of Legends, since good luck. Like, that still dominates on Twitch whenever there's a fucking tournament or anything. Like, blows my mind that people still fucking watch or do anything with that game, but I don't know.
It's still going, dude. It's crazy.
I don't get it. I really don't. Like, MOBA has just never been my style of game to begin with, so.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from this is I think League was, like, the first big MOBA, right? And I think that's why they're kind of still surviving. I think Splitgate has a major fucking uphill battle. I think any first-person shooter that's going to try and do this has a major fucking uphill battle. Justin, is it free to play?
It is free to play. They've got skins and stuff you can pay for, but nothing. Okay. And then they have the battle pass. So it's like all the other games.
Yeah. And that's kind of my point is, like, you got Fortnite, you got Apex, you got Warzone, you got Halo. Multiplayer is going to be free. I don't know. That's eventually the market's going to get oversaturated with this stuff. So.
It already is.
Yeah, oh yeah, big time. It's gonna get But I mean, I'm happy for the dev team. It's a really small dev team who kind of just hit pay dirt, and I'm very happy for them. And I think that's awesome. But I don't know, competing in that space, man. I just don't know how you're gonna be able to do it.
They're doing it. Their game is fucking fantastic.
But you don't feel it's like a Fall Guys or an Among Us? You know what I mean? Where it's just like this phase that we're going through right now, or no?
No.
Okay.
No, because Fall Guys and Among Us are so, like, great grandma can play that Fall Guys or Among Us, really.
Right. Like,
this one, if you're not good at shooters, while it might be fun for a bit, you're going to get weeded out. Like, I could see this one being a, like, Rocket League type just for shooters.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I wish them all the best, obviously. I think it's a cool idea, like having like a portal inside of a Halo multiplayer match is a really cool idea. I have not played it either, and it's not my cup of tea. I don't think I ever will, because I don't like dying that often. But yeah, wish them all the best. We'll see. That was it for the news, boys. It was a very slow news week coming off of the PlayStation Showcase the week before, so let's do some listener questions. First up, Christian writes in. Hi, Christian.
What up, Christian?
Oh, hey. What up, Christian?
What up, Christian?
He says, Christian says, hey, gents, with all these remakes and remasters coming out, I have to wonder if this is the direction that game developers are going to be heading for in the near future. Are we going to start seeing less and less new IPs, and they're only going to focus on treading old ground? If so, I'm a little sad about it and want to know your thoughts. Adam, let's go to you first. I mean, I think in the last couple years especially, we've seen just a huge uptick in remasters, remakes, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And they're all doing very well for the most part when they come out. So yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
That makes me sad.
Yeah.
I would agree with you, Christian. Like, it feels like it's been a long time since there's been like a new game to set this new plateau, so to speak. Like, I just feel like we've been coasting on nostalgia and like polishing up that sort of stuff, and it's got its place, but yeah, there hasn't been a lot of like groundbreaking new, this is what it's going to be for gaming. And hopefully we see that soon, but I just don't know what it would be.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like some are kind, they're like dipping their toe in the water of trying something new. You know what I mean? Like Arcane and Deathloop. I mean, it's a cool idea of having like this Groundhog Day type thing. I just don't think it was executed very well. So, it's, I don't know. So some people are trying, I guess. But Josh, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm thinking a bit more optimistically. I think, like I said earlier, we have so much choice now that, yes, there's a lot of, you know, remakes or remasters or whatever. But there's still a shit ton of games coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, just in the last episode where we talked about the PlayStation, you know, show, they showed quite a few new IPs like Ghostwire Tokyo and
Forspoken,
thank you. And so I feel like these games are coming out, but you know, some people are so hyped for games that they know that they love. There's just a lot of focus and a lot of like, I don't know, marketing spent on that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if we look at the number of games released, sure, 2020 was a little bit of a rough year, and 2021, you know, might be a little bit less as well. There's still tons and tons of new IPs. You just kind of have to dig for them a little bit because there's so many things coming out that, you know, sure, there might be 1,000 more re-releases this year than in previous years, but there's, you know, 1,000 more new IPs coming out as well.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Justin, what about you?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Josh. You still get the rare ones, and you know, some will fail, some will do well, but I don't know. It's kind of the same with even movies and media. A lot of this stuff is either taking from books or taking from another. Like, there's not a whole lot of unique stuff, but when it does, sometimes you get a gem and sometimes you don't. So, I don't know. I think we'll get a little bit of both. Hopefully, yeah, we'll still get some good uniques, but I don't know. I think people will also be able to build off of their, like, if somebody does something unique, somebody else will see that. And, like, we may get some cool games off of Deathloop now that do it right.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's a give and take on that.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I kind of agree, too. Like, we're going to get both. Like, and even if you take kind of an tried and true model and expand on it, like Psychonauts 2, for example, we've plenty of third person action adventure games, right? They're everywhere. But Psychonauts 2 did so much better than anyone else has ever done it, in my opinion. And just the creativity that went into that game and the level design and everything. I think you're going to get a lot of that stuff. I think Forspoken could be really, really something special. And that's what I'm keeping an eye out for. But I think you're going to get both. Like, for the most part, I think we're all pretty excited about the KOTOR remaster. So, I mean, they have their place. So, I'm going to definitely be playing that, and I'm excited for it. But yeah, I wouldn't get sad about it, I think. So, we'll get a little bit of both, a little sampler platter. So, thank you very much for writing in, Christian. Next, Pistol Pete writes in. Hi, Pistol Pete.
What up, Pistol Pete?
Pow, pow, pow.
He says, settle a debate for me between myself and a coworker, please. She comes to work every day with a travel mug full of coffee. She will then use that exact same travel mug all day, refilling it numerous times without ever washing it out. She claims that she washes it every night at home, but how am I supposed to believe that when she acts the way she does throughout the day? It's gross and unsanitary, and I need to get a sound clip of you all saying it so she can change her ways. Thanks. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'm not the person to answer this one.
So I got something for you, Pistol Pete, here that is probably going to make you feel absolutely disgusting. But our boy Cam, shout out to Cam.
Yeah.
He has a Grateful Dead coffee, like, tumbler type cup. But I don't think the dude has ever washed in his entire life. When you look in this thing, there is coffee caked on the inside, and he just adds more to it. I literally do not think he's ever washed it.
That's disgusting.
And this kid is never sick, ever. So I don't know what to tell you. I also think that's a little weird. I wash my cup every morning. I definitely don't wash it in between refilling it every time I go to the kitchen. That's a little excessive.
Yeah.
But if Cam's still kicking, then I don't know, dude. I don't know. Maybe
a lot of other things that help him kicking besides that. That's all right.
Maybe, you know, she's just building her immune system, and you need to get on her level, it sounds like.
So I think Pistol Pete's saying he would rinse out his cup in between every refill. You're saying that's excessive, Justin?
I don't drink coffee either. I'll drink cold brew, but I don't drink coffee at work. If I were drinking coffee, I would do a quick little rinse in between. Okay. But I could see why you wouldn't. I don't know. It's not that weird to me if it's one day.
Okay. Josh, let's go to you next. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like it just ages like fine wine, you know? Like if I have like a half a cup from, you know, before I left for Gen Con, you know, it's just that much better when I get back.
When you get back? No.
Not actually. But no, I drink from the same cup like all day. There is I'm literally putting, you know, 200 degree, you know, hot water into the cup, and I'm washing it out like every day. I don't personally see the problem. Maybe it's also like where you are, because I work from home, so like nothing's gonna get in that cup that isn't around me all the time. Like I live by myself, you know, I work from home. That's all you get, you know? And if I worked in like a meatpacking plant, that's a different story. Like if I'm handling raw chicken for a living, you know, maybe I'll wash my cup more frequently. So maybe it's less on like how often you do it, but more like a how often, depending on what you're doing. I don't know what Pistol P does. I mean, I can only assume, like, I don't know, cowboy. So
yeah,
it's awfully dusty, like at those old saloons. You know, the doors are like just like they're on hinges, and it's just open. Like that's not very clean. You know, there's like horses and stuff out there kicking up dust. So yeah, I get it.
I love it. Adam, what about you?
I'm too busy laughing.
probably a cowboy.
Wow. So I bring, when I go to work, a coffee mug in the morning, but we also have a nice kitchen at our work. So, like, when I get done with it, I rinse it out and, like, wipe it down and shit. It's a stainless steel thing. So, Pistol Pete, if you look in this person's mug and you see rings and bullshit, like, at the bottom, they're clearly not rinsing it out, and that's unsanitary. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clean that shit out.
Clean that shit out. I had to go at it from an outside perspective. I don't drink coffee. It's awful. But, like, if I'm drinking, right, like, I use the same cup over and over again, and I don't see a problem with that. I guess I don't.
Like, if you switch to water from coffee, if you don't rinse it out, then your water tastes like coffee the rest of the day. So, okay. Like, I don't know. Right. I rinse it out, so it just tastes like water.
Y'all gotcha. Rinse out water bottles?
No. Who reuses water bottles?
Like a plastic water bottle from the store? No,
like a water bottle you take like to the gym or something. You know, like,
I literally don't wash my water bottle.
That's yes. What I'm saying. Like, I don't know what I don't know what's like different about it being coffee, but like all of a sudden, like that's disgusting. But I know people no, who have like water bottles and they do not give a shit. It's just like, Josh, oh, it was empty, and then I refilled it.
Thermos full of coffee, you finish it, and then you like fill it full of water and you drink it. It's gonna taste like coffee a little bit unless you wash out that thermos or your cup or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing, but I'm just like, coffee, I want to drink some water after my coffee. Like,
but if I'm drinking coffee and then I fill it with coffee, then it's like double coffee at that point.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
But hang on,
I don't think there's an issue with that, but I think it's Pistol Pete saying to like they change it up. Or are they refilling coffee multiple times?
Yeah, I think
it's coffee. I got the impression it was coffee.
Yeah.
Because just specifically the issue was it's gross and unsanitary, according to the
comment. If you're refilling coffee multiple times, no. No issues there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, if you're like switching to water or other things, yes, wash that shit out.
Dude, if you're switching to another drink, you get a whole new drinking apparatus. You don't fuck around. Are you kidding me?
What?
Yes.
I mean,
oh my God.
I mean, water is for the weak anyway. So, like, coffee to the face all day.
Well, I don't know if we got what you were looking for there, Pistol Pete, but that's what you're
hopefully
getting.
You found a soundbite somewhere in there that you can just send.
If not, just make one of those, like, soundboards of different words that we're saying. Just build your own.
Ooh. Can we get like a soundboard of Josh's uhs?
Yeah.
I have hundreds of thousands of them.
I love them.
You would literally run out of clickable buttons. You would max out all the memory on your computer just in trying to load the number of uhs.
Should I start grabbing those and throw them on the stream deck?
Just
this is why I can't listen to this podcast. I'm like, oh God, I say that so often.
Oh man,
love you, Josh.
I feel like Pistol Pete's just gonna clip out the one tiny little section where I said you get a whole new drinking apparatus, and that's what he's gonna play. Like, no context. Like, see, I told you. Shit. Well, thank you very much for the question, Pistol Pete. Moving on. Our newest patron, Tyler, writes in. Hi, Tyler.
Hi, Tyler. Tyler.
He says, hey, gents. No questions this time. Just a few thoughts from the last handful of episodes, of which I take umbrage. That's a very good word, Tyler. Umbrage. I love that word. Number one, Ryan, you are correct on the one regarding mushrooms. Or you are the correct one regarding mushrooms. They are fit for no human mouth or digestive tract. That is very accurate, Tyler. Very accurate. Mushrooms are the fucking worst, and they squeak on your teeth, and don't even waste your time. Number two, Ryan, you are wrong about pasta salads. Best shit ever. Boil some penne pasta and mix in some bell peppers and wishbone Italian salad dressing. You now have manna from the gods. No. No, Tyler.
That is a fact.
That's a hard pass, Tyler.
I mean, it's pretty lackluster, but I mean, it'll pass as a pasta salad.
You put in some like salami and stuff in there. Ooh.
Ooh, and some fresh mozz. Mm.
Yes.
But he agreed with me on the mushrooms, so I'm going to give him a pass. I'm going to give him a pass. But you're wrong, but I'll give you a pass.
What if you Number put mushrooms in that pasta salad?
You might as well light it on fire.
The oil. You gotta burn that mother down. Yes.
All right, number three. On the Power Rangers versus Planeteers debate, the Power Rangers are one-trick ponies who rely on stupid enemies to succeed. The Planeteers are basically the fucking X-Men and would destroy them easily. And now he's got some good examples, and I love his examples. Earth. Bishop, Sebastian Shaw, and Richter alone have the ability to trigger seismic events, among other things. Power Rangers dead. That is accurate. Wind, Storm, and Riptide would shear those puny Zords to scrap with a thought. Power Rangers dead. Also agree with that. Fire, Sunspot doesn't even need to back up. The guy turns molten and would melt Tommy's little wimp dagger instantly. Also fact. Water, Iceman. Power Rangers dead. Heart. Holy shit, almost any X-Men member can stop a heart. For old Captain Planet himself, with their powers combined, Apocalypse could simply stretch the Power Rangers into very thin skin suits for their Zords, among other horrible things, including that bitch in green. Just a thought. Love you guys. Tyler B. Thank you very much, Tyler. That's a lot to digest there, but I think he's right. The Planeteers would beat the Power Rangers, obviously.
Hell yeah. Josh?
No. The problem here is that it we're not talking about the Power Rangers versus the X-Men, because that's easy. It's the X-Men. X-Men kill people. Like, right? That is a thing. The Planeteers, their entire goal is, like, stopping pollution. So as long as, like, the Power Rangers aren't, like, I don't know, kicking off fossil fuels from their Megazord. What do those Zords
run on?
Then...
Like, are they electric?
Yeah, I feel. Yeah, they're electric. They got no like fossil fuels. They got nothing. They're really supporting the planet. I don't think the Planeteers are going to kill them. Do they have the powers to? Absolutely. But they're kids. They're losing. They're losing.
All right, Adam. What are your thoughts?
I'm kind of with Josh, I guess, to the point where like they're not aggressive and they're not going to attack them. But the second their fucking thing steps on a forest, oh, you better believe they're going to get shit kicked out of them.
I'm just picturing.
They step on a solar plane. Oh, God. Look out. That was clean energy, motherfuckers. They're going to kill them. Tree.
I'm picturing. One of the power
tree.
I'm just picturing one of the Power Rangers filling up their Zord with diesel at a gas station.
Yeah, right. They're going to the local restaurant getting biodiesel. Like, oh my gosh.
Right. Oh shit, that's awesome.
I don't remember the part of the Power Rangers episode where they just shovel corn, like coal, into the Mechazord.
Right. That's where what was the little robot's name? The little robot, that was his job.
did they cut that from the episode?
Yep. Oh shit. Justin, you got thoughts on this?
Well, at first I was like, Tyler's onto something here, but now that you guys mentioned that, I mean, they were kind of your first social justice warriors, so
yeah.
I don't really know that they're gonna go after the Power Rangers here, but I don't know. I feel like they do a lot of nature damage with their destructive Zoids. So, I don't know. You may actually piss them off.
Yeah, if...
They may just cancel the Power Rangers.
Cancel culture.
Just fucking delete them out of existence.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler, I think if you did, I think all four of us agree, if it's X-Men versus Power Rangers, there's a clear answer there, right? Please, everybody, X-Men, yes?
I mean, just one X-Men. You put Wolverine versus literally anyone. And
okay, so we're all in agreement there. But yeah, Planeteers, I don't know. I don't know, man. We'll see.
If they were forced to go toe-to-toe, Planeteers are going to win. But they would have to be forced into that fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not going to be the aggressors.
Oh, I love it. That was a damn good one. Thank you very much, Tyler. And thank you very much for supporting us on Patreon, sir. We very much appreciate it. All right. Lastly, we got Adam, probably not our Adam. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
What up, Adam?
Adam says, you are going to steal the Declaration of Independence. You may choose 3 video game characters to be on your team, and Nicolas Cage cannot be one of them.
This was a fun question.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if Nicolas Cage was a video game character, and I don't care if he was in the stupid movies, I still wouldn't have picked him. Still would not have picked him. Adam, let's go to you first. What is your steal the Declaration of Independence team?
All right, my 3 are Sly Cooper,
okay,
Nathan Drake,
okay,
and Sam Fisher.
Nice. I also had Sam Fisher on my team. That's a damn good choice.
I just think Nathan Drake's pretty much Nicolas Cage, Indiana Jones. Like, he's going to get you in there and know all this shit. Sly Cooper's a fucking awesome thief, can get through some pretty crazy shit. And then Sam Fisher is going to be your, like, Mission Impossible crazy dude that can also get in and out. And, like, between the 3 of them, they're going to fucking get it out of the museum. The first floor. By the way, I Googled it and figured out where it was at, and it's on the first floor of the museum. So
you're on an FBI list now, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. either way, I think 3 of them could handle that, no problem.
Okay, very cool. What are you bringing to the team? What is your contribution, Adam?
I brought the 3 of them together to do the mission.
That was your contribution?
That's my contribution. I have zero contribution to this. Hey, it's there on the first floor because I Googled it. There you go.
Have fun. shit. Justin, what about you? What is your video game team?
Adam brought the logistics. That's what he brought.
There you go.
I also had Sam Fisher. And then I also picked Isaac Briggs from, I don't know if any of you guys ever played Splinter Cell Blacklist, but the co-op campaign in that was so amazing.
Okay.
My roommate Alex and I played that way back in the day, and we would go through it and try to make it so that we were never seen, and just running through those levels where we made it through the entire game without ever being noticed once.
That's awesome.
I feel like if anyone is going to be able, granted, everyone that's guarding it will be dead. So
yeah,
apologize. We probably don't need anyone else, but I went with Joanna Dark for the last one.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's not a bad choice at all. Josh, what about you?
Went with a Solid Snake.
Okay, that's a good
choice. Very, very, very sneaky man. Plus the mullet is a huge plus.
Obviously.
Then Nathan Drake as well. Pretty much his whole job is, getting shit out of tough situations.
Yep.
Then it doesn't really specify that I have to pick sneaky people entirely. So I just went Nightcrawler from the X-Men games. So
you teleport.
We just literally teleport there. And as far as me bringing anything to the situation, I just am like on a walkie-talkie, and I'm just like clacking away at a keyboard like I'm doing something, like most hackers, air quotes, in 90s movies.
Nice.
I just say enhance a lot.
That's a whole job, enhance. Shit. I also picked Sam Fisher, and I did not go the Nathan Drake route. I instead chose Laura Croft, which is basically the same character. I mean, really, pretty much just the female version of Nathan Drake. Actually, she came first. Nathan Drake is the male version of Lara Croft.
Indiana Jones came first, so deal
with that. That's true. And before that, it was The Simpsons. So,
incorrect, but that's fine.
And my last pick, I went kind of loud too. I chose Ash from Rainbow Six, who fires that fucking missile into and just blows walls up. I was like, yeah,
she'll love that choice.
Yeah, she'll get us in and out real quick, real quick. So yeah, Lara Croft, Sam Fisher, and Ash from Rainbow Six. That's my team. And I don't know, I'll probably be sitting in a van drinking a Slurpee while they're in there doing that. That's my contribution. I got
red or blue?
Probably red. Probably red.
Wrong choice, but wrong. Okay.
Yep, wrong.
We're just never going to agree on anything food related, guys. Just accept it.
No.
Just accept it. All right. But thank you very much for the question, Adam. That was a good one. We're going to bypass pick of the week because we're running pretty late unless somebody has one that they really want to say super fast.
Say Eastward. Speed round.
Speed round pick of the week.
I like the speed round. Mine's going to be Wanderer, the Cult of Barnacle Bay that I talked about.
Oh, the game.
Fantastic.
Okay, cool.
Board game.
Very nice. Okay.
Mine's going to be Cartographers, the other game we talked about.
Eastward, which I talked about earlier.
Fuck yeah, dude. I want to play that game so bad. I'm gonna check that. I might download that before I even go to bed tonight, so it's ready for tomorrow. Yeah, I'll just save mine for next week. Mine's not all that good, so I'll just hold on to it. But that should wrap up episode 68 of Nerdentity Crisis. Everybody, please make sure to check us out on social media. Justin's doing a phenomenal job over there. Instagram is Nerdentity Crisis. Twitter is at Nerdentity Pod. Check us out on Podchaser, podchaser.com/nerdentitycrisis. And of course, we would really appreciate it if you would at least take a gander at our Patreon, patreon.com/nerdentitycrisis. All right, boys, so only one thing left to do. Justin, send us home.
Chlorophyll? More like borophyll.